And there we go.
Okay, looks like we are recording. Welcome back, everyone. We are continuing the Silverview Apartments appeal hearing. I think we were going to move to cross-examination of Dr. Cook at this point. Ms. Burbank, yeah, you may proceed.
I don't have any questions for Dr. Cook. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess that's all. Dr. Cook, you are dismissed for right now. Mr. Brooklyn, you can call your first witness. Unless Ms. Zippel, I'm sorry, I didn't separately ask you if you had anything.
No, we're fine as well.
Okay, all right. So Mr. Brooklyn?
Am I off mute? Yeah, I'm off mute. So we'll call Mr. Leiter next.
Okay.
All right, looks like he should be connecting right now. You should be able to unmute yourself as well, Mr. Leiter, and start your video.
Mr. Leiter, let us know when you are on board.
All right, I think I'm on board now.
There you are. Maybe can you adjust your camera screen so you're a little bit more?
Yeah,
there you go. So good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
William Leiter, professional engineer.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
And we're ready to go. And Mr. Leiter, I'll let you know, given our email conversation this morning, I just sent you as you were being sworn in, revision to the outline we've been using that has that new material in it. So you might want to reference that. If not, I'll interject it when we get to that point.
All right.
Mr. Leiter, why don't you start by telling the hearing examiner a little bit about your professional background?
Sure. I've been practicing engineering in Western Washington since 1978. I obtained my professional engineer's license in 1984. I've been running my own business since 2008. I've done design work for most of the major municipalities in Western Washington, including King County, City of Seattle, Snohomish County, City of Vancouver, Sound Transit. My work has involved design, all facets of stormwater design, flow control, water quality treatment, conveyance design, issues with wetlands, with low impact development and stormwater infiltration issues. I've also worked on a number of very large utility projects in downtown Seattle, where there were many utility conflicts that we had to work around and resolve. So I've also designed sanitary sewers, electrical ducts for Seattle City Light as part of the relocation project of the South Lake Union Streetcar project. And so I've been doing this now for nearly 42 years come this month in Western Washington.
All right. And as an engineer, has a significant part of that work been with regard to stormwater design issues?
Absolutely. In 2018, I made a presentation to the Department of Ecology, which was then their draft stormwater management manual. And if you look in the front end of the 2019 stormwater manual, you'll see my name listed as an acknowledgement of the contributions that I made into modifying the new stormwater manual.
All right. What was your assignment with regard to this proposal?
Well, primarily was to review the documents that were provided and ascertain whether or not there was sufficient information there to make a threshold determination and assess whether the project stormwater related impacts were significant. I also looked over the conditional use or administrative conditional use permit and the staff decision. I reviewed all of the applicable stormwater design documents, reports, and preliminary design drawings.
All right. And did you prepare a report?
Yes, I did.
And did you reference in that report the various materials that you reviewed?
I did. That was in my report dated June 29, 2020 of this year. And I do list the, specifically list all of the documents that I reviewed at that time as part of that report.
All right. And might as well move the admission of that report at that at this time. That's appellant's exhibit number one.
I would just like to note that's in also in the exhibit under DCD 55. So I'm not sure we need.
All right. So then it's already in, I guess, because all of your exhibits are in already, right?
That's my understanding.
All right, that's fine. Thank you. And I may have, my attention may have wavered for a second. Did you mention that you did a site visit?
No, I didn't mention it, but yes, I did do a site visit on June 11th of this year. There had been a significant rainstorm, a rain squall, that passed through just before I arrived on site. And so it had just stopped raining when I was on site on June 11th.
All right. And can you describe what part of the property you were able to examine when you did your site visit?
I primarily stayed on the county right away on Mickleberry Road and Buckland Hill Road. And then I was escorted by the property owner to the south and walked their property and walked along the south boundary of the proposed Silverview Apartments site. I did not specifically go on the site at that time. I did not have permission to go on there.
Okay. All right. So, before we plunge into the details of your testimony, why don't you start with some background on stormwater? Why does it matter? Why has ecology prepared a manual several times over? Why is there so much attention paid to stormwater?
Well, obviously, we're seeing the loss of important iconic species in Western Washington, Chinook salmon, orca whales, for example. But also just in general, all the salmonids are suffering in our streams now. We're seeing not only pollutant levels of automobile and vehicle runoff, hydrocarbons, metals like copper and zinc that are detrimental to fish species, but we're also seeing rises in temperature. As the temperature goes up, the dissolved oxygen level goes down in the water. They're both inversely proportional to each other. And so ecology is recognized, as well as many other people have recognized, the importance that we need to address these point and non-point pollution sources. And that is why the Clean Water Act is enforced by the Department of Ecology to keep the water quality levels high or trying to restore them where they've been degraded.
Right. And I know we're going to show a video in a second here that addresses the pollution aspect. In terms of quantity, does development sometimes result in either increases or decreases in runoff, or and sometimes even both in different areas, as it were, which seems incongruous? But tell us about the quantity impacts.
Well, definitely there are quantity impacts, and almost always, in most instances, you're going to see increased runoff as a result of development. what was previously a pervious surface that would infiltrate or slow the water down is eliminated when impervious surfaces like pavements, roofs, driveways, and the like, and even lawn will run off stormwater much faster than native vegetation. So it's a twofold issue. Number one, it's the quantity of runoff, the rapid flush of rain that runs off almost immediately off of impervious surfaces. But then it's also the lack of infiltration, which in some cases impacts stream base flows. And so the water that would have infiltrated and slowly reached a stream in summer will run off rapidly in the wintertime, and that storage volume is lost.
Is that recharge, the loss of recharge, also potentially impact wetlands?
It definitely could. Maintaining the hydroperiod of wetlands, basically hydroperiod means when the water reaches the wetland. So if the water is gradually getting there in the wintertime, then we need to maintain that regime on there. It doesn't do any good if there's just a little bit of water goes in and then it dries up because the water was diverted as a result of development.
All right. And then on the pollution, you shared, or someone shared with me, a video that you were going to reference, I think. Audrey, do you have that ready?
Mm-hmm, I do.
All right. You mentioned, Mr. Leiter, the water quality impacts of stormwater. Are you familiar with this video that we're about to show?
Yes, I am.
All right. So I guess, Audrey, you would need to share your screen and run the video.
And is there an exhibit number on that video?
Ms. Clungeon? You might be muted.
Looking to see if they're...
Yeah, the video is a good primer on stormwater issues, particularly in Puget Sound, and water quality impacts to the sound itself.
Where's Ms. Clungeon? Issues. Do we have an exhibit number for that?
I'm looking. 1 second.
All right.
Would it have been the record or the appellant?
Appellants. Okay. Conceivable it got omitted.
While we're looking, just a clarification, Mr. Bricklin, from Mr. Leiter's resume. Appellant two, did you want to admit that?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay. I assume there's no objections to that.
No objection.
So I'm guessing this delay means it's not there.
I don't think we have an exhibit number on this. This would be more of an administrative exhibit.
All right. So we would request leave to supplement our exhibit list with this. This is just for illustrative purposes. He could talk about this in narrative form, but this kind of gives you some visual images of it.
Any objections from the parties on that?
Yes. I have no idea what the video is. And so while I appreciate Mr. Bricklin's assessment of it, with it being shown and not having been seen before, that's problematic from my perspective.
Ms. Bricklin, how long is the video?
Yeah, I think it's about 8 minutes, if I remember right. And I think about the first five or we could even stop it at that point. Conveys most of its information in the first 5 minutes, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I do have some concerns given that it was not disclosed with the exhibit list. And I guess you're proposing, I mean, one way to deal with it would be to use it as simply as illustrative rather than as an actual exhibit.
Yeah, and that is basically what I'd like to do.
Okay. I understand the nature of the objection since it wasn't disclosed. I will allow it to go ahead and play. And if we can shorten it, don't have to have the full 8 minutes, but it will be illustrative only. And so not not an admitted exhibit.
All right, thank you. So I'll just share your screen then.
And when was this video taken?
It's about 2 years old, I think.
And Mr. Leiter, just to clarify, did you take this video or?
No, I did not.
Oh, do you know who took it?
I think it says at the beginning, it's a group that works on stormwater issues, and they're just trying to, it's a kind of an educational video that describes how stormwater impacts water quality.
Okay, and so you're showing, just to, so I understand, you're showing it kind of to help explain how stormwater works, I guess, and it's a broad generalization.
Right, and it's, you know, I mean, you can, a witness can say, there's pollution in stormwater. This video shows the pollution in stormwater. You know, it provides you with some visualization of what the witness is talking about in verbal form.
Okay.
Yeah, if I may, the video was prepared by Katie Campbell, Michael Warner, and Greg Davis. And so it involves underwater video photography of stormwater impacts to Puget Sound.
Okay.
And if I may, ask some clarifying questions. Is this video related to this project? Like, are the video images related to Dyes Inlet?
No.
Or
Puget Sound. It just shows stormwater flowing in underwater pipes coming into Puget Sound to provide some visualization of that. Testimony that Mr. Leiter has already provided.
And I guess I would renew my objection, even for illustrative purposes, simply because it doesn't seem relevant to this hearing. I think that if it's going to show what he's talking about, we really don't know that because it's not about this project.
I'm going to allow the video to show, but there is some weighing here in terms of what it shows. I mean, it sounds like it's being provided as a general sort of explanatory tool that is, but it's not of this project site, and not everything that is said in the video may have relevance necessarily to this project site. So I'll allow the video, but if we can, again, Mr. Bricklin, I think you said we could probably stop it at 5 minutes.
Sure.
That's fine, but I do have some concerns about it. It's a bit unusual, but I'll go ahead and allow that to run for a bit.
All right. I'm not hearing anything. I don't know if
it's just like flying.
There we go.
The animals are fantastic and so different than anything you'll ever see up here on the surface. It's kind of like going into Wonderland. I don't think that people realize what a gem we have. It's the Emerald Sea. It's got so much life. The cold water has more nutrients. It can hold more oxygen, hold more nutrients than warm water. So you get tremendous invertebrate marine life. You get octopus and bullfields and all sorts of sea slugs just every color of the rainbow, the wild and crazy animals you see underwater, they're kind of like Alice in Wonderland to me a little bit. You go beneath the sea and it's, you're in this different world, and it's mesmerizing and brilliant.
In addition to the abundant life, James also witnesses a deadly form of pollution.
We'd swim along and we'd see this decaying swath, black and dead leaves and like garbage, bubblegum wrappers and the straws, like stir straws from coffee and coffee cup lids, and very random things. And I didn't understand what I was seeing.
One day she came across something in the water that has haunted her ever since.
We were coming up the slope and I saw what looked like a piling, and it was this big black column. And as we got closer, I realized that it was actually a storm outfall, and it was so full of road grime and who knows what, that it was just black, and it was just billowing and billowing, and it just doesn't stop. When I saw that stuff flowing into Puget Sound, I was just like, what is in this? And of course went home and I started looking it up on the internet. I'm like, what's in stormwater? And I'm like, we don't want that there.
Stormwater is a toxic cocktail of sediment, grease, tire wear, and any litter small enough to slip into storm drains. And that's just what you can see. There's much more we can't see. Microscopic particles of heavy metals like copper and zinc are commonly found in urban highway runoff. There's also oil and petroleum-based hydrocarbons. Contrary to what a lot of people think, runoff is Puget Sound's biggest source of pollution.
Approximately 50% of the region believe that stormwater is treated, is captured, and then conveyed for treatment to a treatment plant of some type, when in fact this doesn't take place. Almost all of this water goes off totally untreated.
Throughout the United States, so much land has been paved over that the total amount of impervious surfaces would cover an area the size of Ohio. Every time water washes over these hard surfaces, pollutants pour into the nearest waterway.
But all these impervious surfaces means that water can't get through them. Whereas if it rains in the forest, the water hits the ground and then very slowly seeps into the soil, and the soil acts like a sponge. It slows down the water, it cleans the water out, it filters it. And obviously an impervious surface like pavement just doesn't do that at all.
Jennifer McIntyre is leading a team that's studying how polluted runoff impacts aquatic animals.
We can probably stop it there. I think we've got the gist of it.
Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Leiter, returning to your testimony, then, what is the regulatory structure that's been developed in recent years to address this increasing awareness of the problems posed by stormwater runoff?
Well, the rules are promulgated. They start at the federal level under the Clean Water Act, and in turn in Washington State, those rules are adopted and enforced by the Department of Ecology, who in turn issues NPDES permits to various municipalities. There's phase one municipalities and phase two. The phase one are the larger municipalities like Seattle, King County, Snohomish County, and so on. And then the smaller ones are like Silverdale, Kitsap County, and so on. So Kitsap County would be covered under the phase two NPDES permit. And in turn, they are mandated to adopt the Ecology Stormwater Manual. They can augment that manual with their own design criteria, basically making it more stringent, but not less stringent.
Right. And you've reviewed that manual, I gather?
Yes.
And does that manual address the issue of pumping stormwater?
Yes, it does.
And how so?
It's in, basically what it says is that the water flowing into the county's municipal stormwater system must gravity flow in. It cannot be pumped.
All right. And you have an understanding why that would be the case, why they don't want pumping in stormwater systems, rely on pumping?
Pumps fail. I mean, that's the simple logic of it. With stormwater pumps in particular, they might sit idle for a month or two in the summertime. Bearings tend to freeze up. Pumps can get clogged with debris. If that happens, then there's potential for flooding, for property damage, and also for environmental damage.
All right. And does the stormwater map also address water quality issues?
Absolutely.
And is some kind of water quality treatment required for a project like this before the stormwater is discharged?
It is. In this particular case, because this project discharges to a saltwater body, then basic water quality is required, or treatment is required to remove sediments, oils, and some of the basic pollutants that would be found in stormwater runoff from a parking lot like this.
All right. So what is the existing stormwater infrastructure around this property that they're proposing to tap into, and perhaps a map, aerial view, plan view might be useful here. Ms. Glenjan, could you bring up, not sure what would be the best one for that.
Maybe drawing C3.0.
Yeah, that might be a little more detailed than I. Well, the examiner may still recall that the north of the property, there's an east-west street called Buckland Hill Road. Is there a county storm pipe in beneath that road?
Yes, there is.
And Ms. Clinton, maybe you could just bring up one of the various maps that just show the area generally.
But, like a Google map kind of aerial?
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Stop for a second. Are you sharing your screen? Yeah, well, that would work, I guess.
What was the exhibit number on that? I remember this one was shown earlier.
This is just a Google map. There's no exhibit number here. Dave, I can grab one from a report, just a general aerial map, or do you want one?
Right.
This is just to orient where we are.
Correct. Yeah. So as I understand it, Mr. Leiter, the basic plan is to collect much, but not all, of the stormwater on the property and have it exit at the northwest corner of the property. Is that right?
Correct. The majority of the water will exit the property on the northwest corner, but then there's also stormwater that would exit off the southwest corner as well.
All right. And from there, the majority of the water that leaves at the northwest corner, there's already a stormwater pipe under Buckland Hill Road, which is a couple hundred feet north of that. Is that right?
Correct. It would be at the very top of that photograph, right about where the cross is there. So the intersection of Mickleberry and Buckland Hill Road.
All right. Buckland Hill is the east-west road there.
Yes.
All right. And so their stormwater at the northwest corner of the property would be collected in a pipe and then discharged into a pipe that would run north up to Buckland Hill Road. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. And then now it might be good to bring up their plans and show a little closer in detail of how they're proposing to do that. So, Glenjan, can you bring up that drawing that we've been looking at? And while you're doing that, you said you prepared a report, we've already gotten that admitted, didn't we? Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You want the revised drainage plans?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
So that's the department's exhibit 41, I believe. And it's comprised of 8 sheets. And we're going to be looking at, I think it's sheet 6 in that set, if I remember right. So right now we're looking at sheet C6.0. So this is probably the first time the examiner has seen the actual layout of the project. So Mr. Leiter, why don't you just describe what we're looking at here in terms of the gray areas and the white areas?
Okay, the gray areas would be the parking lot areas, the shaded color, the dark purple or whatever it is, that would all be parking lot, and you can see they have parking stalls designated throughout that area. That would all be pollution generating impervious surface. And then we have building roofs that are shown in white. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4 apartment buildings plus a clubhouse. And then there's also a parking garage at the east end of the property. Those would also be impervious surfaces because the roof runoff is generally considered non-pollution generating if there's no metals being contributed as part of the building materials. But because that water will be combined or commingled with the parking lot runoff, then the volume has to be treated for the entire area. So almost all of the project site will become impervious surface. There's a little bit of landscaping on the very south side of the project and a little bit on the very east side. And maybe there's a few landscape planters in the parking area. But the majority of the site, probably estimating roughly 90% plus, would become impervious surface.
All right. And then... Then if we turn to page, where's the plan and profile view of that? Is that on page?
Probably page 3 would show the overall.
Right. Thank you. So why don't you scroll down a little more so we look at the plan view first. Yep. And maybe blow that up. Even a little larger, perhaps. Yeah. Great. Good. All right. So what are those? So walk us through what we're looking at on this diagram then, Mr. Leiter.
All right. You see lines with SD between square, dark square boxes. SD would stand for storm drain. Yeah. And the dark squares would be catch basins. So the pavement would be sloped into the various catch basins, and the water in turn would be routed from both the downspouts of the buildings, any footing drains that are drained out into that system. And then of course all the parking lot water would be routed out. And so the line that runs on the north side, all exits at the catch basin that's at the north west corner of the property. And then from that point, the water would enter the county right away on Mickleberry.
All right.
There's also a separate line that comes in from the south. And that starts actually back on the far east side of the project. If you can scroll over just a little bit more. There's a proposed interceptor swale there that would take intercept off-site stormwater. And then that would route the water from south along the east boundary to the south east corner, and then west along the south side of the project. And you can see that there's various catch basins in there. And if you continue to scroll over, there's also one of the catch basins from the parking lot area near the clubhouse that ties into the storm drain. And then there's also a storm drain coming down Mickleberry.
Right, but before you leave that one, so that storm line that runs along the south property line that picks up offsite water coming in on the east boundary also picks up a little bit near the clubhouse, and it makes its way to the southwest corner of the site. Where does it go from there?
From there, it goes out into a new catch basin that'll be installed. And then it drains south. And then there's a note call out that says outlet to existing rock drain pad on it. I believe that's what that says there. And then turn that water would flow into.
So is that flowing into a ditch at that point?
Yes, it is.
All right. On the east side of Mickleberry Road?
Right. There's a ditch, and then there's a culvert just to the north of that ditch that allows access to the home in that long driveway that was shown previously in Sarah Cook's reports along the south side. So there's it goes into a culvert, and then there's a series of open ditches and closed culvert pipes, and turn that water drain south into the saltwater lagoon connects into Dyes Inlet. It's not shown on that drawing. You'd have to go back to one of the aerials to see it.
All right.
I did photograph that when I was out there.
All right. That line so the stormwater line that runs along the south side of the property and it gets out to the street. It looks like it's intersecting there with another drain line that's running north and south in the street, parallel to the west property line. Is that right?
Correct.
And
that's to basically take water that was running down the roadside ditch there and convey that down into as part of the road frontage improvements for the Silverview Apartments.
So as part of the improvements, they're going to widen Mickleberry and convert what's currently a roadside ditch into a stormwater pipe beneath the widened road?
Yes.
All right. And all that will flow south toward eventually into the lagoon?
Correct.
All right. All right, so now why don't we, before we move to the profiles, why don't you take just 30 seconds to explain why we're gonna spend some time looking at profiles? Why does the, literally the lay of the land matter here?
Well, this is what we call grade challenged. There's an adverse grade or an uphill grade that particularly for the stormwater flowing north to Buckland Hill Road has to gravity flow. And
that's because the stormwater manual says no pumps.
Correct.
All right.
And there is the potential for utility conflicts going north. But also you need to have sufficient fall or grade through the water quality treatment facility, which a cartridge system has been proposed. The exact manufacturer or specifications have not been laid out, but the grade is critical to the proper operation of the cartridge system water quality treatment facility.
All right. Well, I think I heard you say three things there. First was that the grade is pretty flat in there, so it's just before you get into any of the system itself, it's hard to have a downhill run on the pipe. Is that right?
More or less. The property does slope gently from east to west, but then going north from the property, you're going uphill. So number one, the pipe excavation is getting deeper. But number two is the pipe has to be run really flat to be able to tie in to the existing main line, the existing storm drain line in Buckland Hill Road.
All right. So there's the existing geometry issue. Then the second thing you mentioned was utilities. Are there any existing utilities between the northwest corner of the property and Buckland Hill Road?
Yes, there are a number of utilities.
And what is that? What's the implication of that in terms of trying to keep a downhill slope on this new line?
Some of those, there is a potential for utility conflicts with existing underground utilities. Some of them are relatively easy to address, and there's others that could be very difficult to address.
And when you say difficult to address, you mean in terms of maintaining a gravity flow in that pipe at the same time that you're trying to dodge existing utilities?
Yes.
All right. And then the third thing you mentioned was something about the water quality treatment system. And you said something about that needs some fall in it, I think. What did you mean by that?
Well, all cartridge systems basically need to have some pressure behind the water to make the water flow through the filter cartridge so that the cartridge can do its job to remove pollutants, both dissolved and suspended, and particulate particles that might be in the stormwater. All the cartridge systems today that are in the stormwater manual are considered by the Department of Ecology as an emerging technology. In other words, it's a new technology. There are three different categories that...
Mr. Leiter?
Yeah.
Let me interrupt. We probably don't need that level of detail. Okay. I think the point here is that to use the technology, you need to have so many feet of drop in the system?
Correct. Right. Using one of the more typical stormwater cartridges with what they call a low flow head. So for grade challenged projects like this, it'd be the one that they want to select. You need at least 1.8 feet of fall through the from the inlet to the outlet of the water quality treatment vault or box that would filter the water.
All right. So if you've got the pipe exiting the northwest corner at a certain elevation and you're trying to tie it in with a gravity flow to the county pipe up on Buckland, before you can do that, you got to drop the water another almost 2 feet down through this filter before you make your march north to tie into the line on Buckland Hill Road. Is that right?
That's correct. By my calculation, the shallowest that the pipe could be coming out of the water quality treatment vault is 4 feet below grade. And the reason I came up with 4 feet is, first off, the bare bones minimum for cover over a pipe is 1 foot. And if you're using an HDPE pipe, it's 0.2 foot for the thickness of the wall of the pipe. And then it's another 1.8 feet. The pipe itself is 1 foot. And then there's 1.8 feet through a fall through the water quality treatment vault. So that would add up to 4 feet.
All right, so with that as background, let's turn now to the profile. So, Ms. Glungeon, if you could scroll down to the image directly below this plan view that shows the same system in profile.
This one?
I think so.
Yep.
That's
it. And all right. So one
we're looking at DCD 41 and I'm sorry, page 4 it looks like.
Yes.
Yes, that's page 4, drawing C3.1.
All right. And before we get into the details of it, why don't you just explain to us how to look at this? What are we looking at? Let me kind of lead you through that. I see a double black line, you know, parallel lines running across the image horizontally. What is that?
That would be the proposed stormwater pipe that would be put in to convey the stormwater from the apartment site up to Buckland Hill Road.
All right. And when we talked about this pipe leaving the northwest corner of the property, is that on the near the right-hand end of this image?
That's correct. That would be that pipe on the, manhole or catch basin on the right-hand side of the drawing is the last catch basin that would be on the Silverview Apartments. That would be
we'll tie that in a second, but I just want to get the big picture first.
Yes.
And then as you move right to left across that profile, you're basically going north up Micklebury Road, and at the left-hand end, you reach Buckland Hill Road. Is that right?
That's correct. And also the dashed line that's above the dark parallel line would show the existing grade. So you can see as you go north on Micklebury towards Buckland Hill, the grade is going up slope. So the pipe's getting a lot deeper.
All right. And on the left-hand end of that, does it show in gray shading the existing county pipe that they're trying to tie into?
Yes, it does. It shows the existing pipe tying into an existing manhole just to the left of what's called out as CB number 1 on that profile drawing.
All right. So let's talk about how manholes are depicted here. So there's a number, there's looks like 4 large and 2 smaller vertical objects, kind of look like torpedoes or something. Do you see those?
Yes.
I see all of them touch the surface, that dashed line. Are those the catch basins, where water flows into the system?
Yes, that would be what's called a catch basin manhole. It would have an eccentric cone on top. And so it would take additional water through a grate into that system.
All right. All right. So now just so we have these for reference, those catch basins are numbered 1 through 6, left to right. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Those first 4 large ones are 1 through 4, and the 2 smaller ones over on the right-hand end are 5 and 6. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
All right. And, all right. So now, with that as background, explain what conclusions you reached with regard to whether the applicant has demonstrated that they're going to be able to maintain a gravity flow from where the pipe exits their property, drops down through a filter, and then traverses north and is able to stay high enough, if you will, that it can intercept the county pipe in Buckland Hill Road.
Well, as you recall, I said that the minimum elevation for the outfall of a water quality facility would have to be 4 feet below grade. If you look at catch basin number 6, at the note call out at the below it on the profile drawing, it says station 4 plus 24.41, and then it says rim 24.75. The invert elevation called out is a 16-inch ductile iron pipe at an elevation 22.29. but you cannot get a water quality vault to discharge at that elevation. It would have to be at least 20.75, so a foot and a half or 2 foot lower than what is shown on that profile currently.
So, and are they showing the water quality vault in this diagram at all?
No, they're not.
And is that a required feature?
Yes, it is.
And you're saying if they had included it, it would basically force this starting end of this pipe roughly 2 feet deeper?
Correct. Additionally, the design did not call out any of the invert elevations, the bottom of the pipe where the water flows, elevation on the project site itself. It shows a plan view, but it doesn't provide a profile view like this where we can look at it and see. It's quite possible that pipe might even need to be lower than 4 feet, depending on what the pipe elevation is coming in from the stormwater runoff from the parking lot and the building roofs and the foundation drains and so on that are to the east on the apartment site.
Is the failure of the applicant to provide that information and failure to provide the information about the water quality cartridge, are those significant omissions in the information they've provided to the county?
I believe so. The reason I believe that is that a reviewer cannot determine from this design if it's going to work, if it's feasible.
Okay. So leaving those issues aside or moving beyond those issues, even if you ignore all that, as I look at that first run of pipe from catch basins 5 and 6, moving to the left, that is north up Mickleberry, I see there's a notation under that pipe. It says 180 LF 16 inch, whoops, it's moving around on me, 16 inch at 0.34%. What, interpret that for us.
Yeah, what that would say is it's 180 lineal feet of 16 inch diameter ductile iron pipe, and it's laid at a slope of 0.34%.
What's normally the minimum slope in a stormwater pipe?
Normal slope, most municipalities require at least 0.5%, 0.5% slope. And if you look to the, if you scroll over a little farther to the left there, where those large 48-inch manholes or catch basin manholes are, you'll see the pipe slope there is 0.5%. And so that's more of the standard design slope that's required to keep a minimum velocity in the pipe to keep sediment from precipitating out and plugging the pipe.
So even before we deal with the omission of the cartridge and the lack of information about the pipes feeding into this from the project, even leaving all that aside, they're showing 180 feet of pipe at a slope that's less than engineering standards?
That's more or less correct. Actually, it's closer to 220 feet because there's also 40 feet between catch basins 6 and 5.
All right. Okay.
But yeah, that's all a very flat slope that typically would not be allowed in most municipalities that require 0.5%, 0.5%. slope in the pipe.
All right. Let me get back to my notes here. So I think we've covered a lot of what I wanted to address in that area. Oh, well, we haven't talked about the utilities.
Yes.
So you mentioned that in addition to you know, this kind of less than engineering standard half of a percent in their own drawings, and the omission of the cartridge filter and the omission of data regarding the pipes coming leading into this from their property and the true elevations of that. Yet another issue relates to the utility. So why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. If you zoom in on that area between catch basins 5 and 6, you'll see the proposed 12-inch storm drain. We talked about that earlier. That's that drain that was going to be installed as part of the street improvements in front of the apartment complex.
The Mickleberry Road pipe?
Yes. And there's also a conduit in there.
Wait, before you, so where is this storm drain for the water flowing off of Mickleberry? And that's the pipe that leads down towards the lagoon. Where's that one shown?
If you go up to the plan view in there, catch basin 6 and catch basin 5 are shown on the upper part of the drawing. You'd have to scroll up on that sheet C3.1 to the offsite storm plan view. Now, just for reference, on the other drawings we were looking at,
Wait. One thing at a time. So you said let's scroll up. So now we're scrolled up. Now where is catch basin 5 on this? Is that right at the where it turns?
Yes, that's catch basin 5. They didn't really number it on their plan view.
Yeah, they did. It's down there to the right.
Okay.
And where is, so, and catch basin 6 is above that, correct. Which is to say east?
Yes.
So that run of pipe from 6 to 5 is running east-west, coming off the property into the road. Is that right?
That's correct.
And at catch basin 5, it turns north.
Correct.
And somewhere between 6 and 5 is where it leaves the property and enters public right of way. Is that right?
Correct.
And so somewhere in there is where the no pump rule takes effect. Is that right?
That's correct.
All right. So let's go back to the profile, I think, right?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, wait. Sorry, Ms. Clungeon. Go back up. And it's in between 6 and 5 where this pipe will cross the pipe that's proposed to run in Mickleberry Road headed south down to the lagoon. Is that right?
That's correct.
Where is that pipe shown? Is that shown there? Zoom in, Ms. Clungeon. So you can see the pipe we've been talking about that runs from 6 to 5, a heavy dark line. It looks like it crosses at right angle with another one that says SSFM, and then there's another one, SD. Is one of those the storm drains that you were just referencing?
Yes, it is. The SSFM is a sanitary sewer force main. That would be the sewage that would be pumped out uphill to Buckland Hill Road to the sanitary sewer main.
All right.
And then the SD line that starts, it kind of crosses the sanitary sewer at a 45 degree angle, and then it runs south and it runs underneath the storm drain line from the Silverview Apartments. That is going to conflict when that pipe is lowered.
So you're saying if you have to lower the pipe from storm drains from catch basin 6 down to 5, it's gonna have a conflict with this other storm drain that, and maybe the sewer too, I don't know, that's running in the street.
Yeah, it would definitely conflict with the storm drain line. The sanitary sewer could be routed underneath it since it's a pressure main. It could be, the grade is easy to revise on that to avoid a conflict. But it would definitely conflict with that storm drain pipe that you show there running from north to south down Mickleberry Road.
All right, so now back to the profile, please, Ms. Clungeon. All right, so where is that storm drain reflected here on the profile view?